With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. Every Saturday, it's Food, Wine, and Fun for Yours. Today, it's a little bit different, but I do day drinking every Saturday right here between noon and one because I taste the wine of the week. And you've heard me say some of the best wines I've ever had have been in the morning. But oftentimes you want lower alcohol or you want those same flavors and fun things. And if you bought this book, Day Drinking, 50 Cocktails for a Mellow Buzz, by my guest, Kat O'Dell, you'd have certainly the guidebook. And let's talk about the layout. The first section of the book is probably worth the read. Just to learn about you and get your background is an important part. But what about some of the basic bar tools, equipment, and standard ingredients we ought to have on hand when we buy the copy of the book and start making?
So, you know, bar tools can be expensive. I think the most basic tools, having a muddler is important. And a muddler is what looks like a small baseball bat, and it helps break up fruit and herbs and release flavors. And I think that's actually one of the most important bar tools to have. It's pretty hard to sub in like a fork or another ingredient. I think in general, bar tools are pretty easy to hack. You know, if you don't want to go and spend a lot of money on tools, you don't really need to buy necessarily a mixing glass. You can sort of improvise with what you have at home. You probably want to invest in a cocktail shaker just to have a proper device that's not going to leak when you're shaking a cocktail. But I would say a shaker and a muddler and a jigger. Of course, a jigger is a tool that will measure ounces. So those are probably the three most important ingredients to have on hand. Three most important tools to have on hand.
All right, but then that was a good segue. Most everybody keeps limes and lemons, but there's a lot of other things you can keep around that will make making some of the cocktails in the book that much easier.
Well, citrus is certainly important. Lemon and lime I always have at home just because those are ingredients that are incorporated into so many drinks and really the base of so many drinks. Depending on what you're making and the ingredients, you may want to have a simple syrup. I don't love sweet cocktails. My palate skews savory, so I personally use as little simple as possible. And I also like the option of making a syrup with honey or sometimes even agave. It's a little bit better for you. And then some fresh fruit and some fresh herbs. Also, depending on the flavors, I love strawberry drinks. In terms of liqueurs, Aperol or Campari is great to have. Those are Italian bitters. You'll want to have a bottle of white wine and a bottle of red wine. You can make sangrias, you can make spritzes, and bubbles. You know, I love, love, love bubbles, and bubbles are important for the spritz, which is one of my favorite cocktails.
Oh, yeah. If you have wine in your house, you keep a selection of wines in your house, hopefully, especially this time of year, you have some rosé. And you know, you've got your rosé all day. What a great and simple beverage that anybody can make. There's no challenge. You don't have to be a mixologist. And you're cutting the alcohol down, a little bit of rosé, a couple of strawberries, and Aperol. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I have not had Aperol, but you just mentioned it, and that made that recipe come to mind. Little lemon juice and a little soda water for fizz, and you've got something that starts off low in alcohol with the rosé, and then you're adding these other liquids that bring it down even better.
Mm-hmm. I love that drink. It's just really light, refreshing. It's not too sweet. The Aperol is actually where you're getting the sweetness from and a bit from the strawberries as well. It has some nice acidity, and it's just a very crisp cocktail. It's great for a hot day.
I just love it. Again, a picture's worth a thousand words, and the picture of that, simple as it is, it makes me thirsty.
Yeah.
There's other drinks in here that are interesting and use some things that you might not think about. And I'm a big fan of sherry, and I think more and more we're seeing sherry move to the front of the class or the front of the bar and being used in a lot of drinks. And so flavorful, and you can still add it to other things and bring down the alcohol content.
I love sherry. I love savory. As I was saying before, I love savory cocktails, and sherry adds this kind of umami quality to drinks, which a nuttiness, which I think is really delicious.
Okay, so if someone doesn't want to drink and they want to make something that looks nice in a glass and they feel like they're still part of the crowd, you have a pretty good section on mocktails, and this is kind of a relatively, in the last 10 years, new phrase for identifying cocktails that look and maybe even have some of the same characteristics as their alcoholic brothers, but no alcohol.
Exactly. So I have a whole chapter dedicated to mocktails, and I also included a little section within each cocktail that offers advice on how to spike it if you do want to add maybe like a half an ounce of grappa, or you do want to turn it into a cocktail. But one of my favorite recipes in there is from, unfortunately, now defunct restaurant named Fetney in New York, designed by Eamon Rocky, who created a bar program over there. And it's basically a mock wine, and it's made from beet juice and tea. And it looks exactly like wine in the glass. And it has tannins from the tea, just like a wine would, but it's completely free of alcohol. So that's a really fun one.
That is so interesting. I just had a long discussion with the chief beetologist, if you will, and the company's name is Beetology, and the fruit that they're putting in these cute little containers, 8-ounce clear glass containers, is mixed with all kinds of things. There's beet and vegetable, and one of them was beet and tropical fruit, pineapple, coconut, mango, and...
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, Kat, it is reminiscent of drinking a fairly heavily oaked Chardonnay.
Wow, that's impressive. I'm going to look this up.
It's called Beetology. They're health food stores and things like that. But really, like I said, it's got mango and lime and coconut and pineapple. And you smell this. And when the first time I opened it and smelled it, I thought, my goodness, this has been in fresh American oak. And then I tasted it.
Wow.
It's just an incredible beverage. And then, of course, as I'm sure you would do if you tasted it, it's a great beverage by itself, and it's healthy. But then I started thinking, oh, man, you could make a really cool cocktail with this.
Like a Bloody Mary or something.
Oh,
cool,
man.
Bloody.
No, the beet and veggie one.
That'd be great.
That's another one, that you could make a fun Bloody Mary with.
Yeah.
What about sparkling wine? I drink a lot of cava. My wife loves Prosecco. We drink a lot of champagne.
Yeah.
I think that you can really do a lot with sparkling wine other than just a mimosa, for example. Have you had any luck? The recipes in the book using bubbles?
I have a really cool riff on a mimosa. It's a drink that's actually made with squash juice, and it looks just like a mimosa, but it's not. It has squash and a little bit of banana liqueur. Really cool drink. When you sip it, it's hard to place the flavors because you think that you're drinking what looks like a mimosa, but it's a little bit different. I also have some more classic cocktails, like a Kir. So if you take the idea of a Kir Royale, which is custard syrup and sparkling wine, essentially you're adding a fruit syrup to sparkling wine. So, right, you can use custard, but you could also make your own syrup or play around with any other syrup that exists, whether it's raspberry or, you could use strawberry and add that to a sparkling wine, or even a little bit, you could add a dash of fruit juice. There's so many ways. Like, sparkling wine just serves as sort of a blank slate with which you can play and add your own preferred flavors and just make that into an entire cocktail in and of itself.
That sounds great. This just came in my head. I did a couple seminars at a major wine event in Arkansas in the past couple years, and one of them was a brunch, and we made what looked like a mimosa, but I put Moscato, and then we made little skewers with a slice of banana, a grape, and a little piece of a tangelo. It was like a fruit salad, but had a little bit of
alcohol. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It was fun, a lot of fun. Well, the book is really cool. I think you did a great job, and it's, one of the first pages that opened up for me was spring has sprung, and cucumbers floating in this beautiful punch bowl, and it makes me think, man, I'm looking forward to winter as I look forward to every season, but I'll miss the heat of summer when a big bowl of wine punch with cucumbers in it would fill the bill.
I know. You'll have to make it next spring.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, the book is great. I'm so glad you could finally carve me out a little bit of time. Best of luck with book sales, and I hope you get to spend some time at home.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm Guy Barrett. It's a good laugh. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more food, wine, and fun for your ears. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.